Hello and welcome to Four Panel, Geek Show sister program, all about comics and manga and all the pretty pictures on the pages.
I love the hand gestures when you're introducing the show, Ben.
You need them. They just bring up the energy.
If only we had a camera. If only. We need a camera in this place, just so we can record what goes on here.
It wouldn't be a bad idea.
Anyway, welcome to Four Panel. We're going to start off today's... Actually, we've got a lot to cover today's show.
Yeah.
Some great stories and a really fantastic find that we've had in as well. But we're going to start off with a little bit of news, starting off with, is it Joel Kinnaman? It's Joel Kinnaman. He may be taking over the role of Rick Flagg in the Suicide Squad movie because, I've forgotten his name.
Tom Hardy has dropped the project. Like, the official... What they're saying officially is that he was too busy, and it's understandable. He's got a few other movies on the go at the moment, and there's a lot of demand for him. But there's also the fact that he wasn't happy with the size of the role that he had.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him, because from what I've heard, once Will Smith was on board as Deadshot,
yeah.
The role was expanded because, hey, we've got Will Smith.
Oh, look, we got a guy with big ears who's going to play the ultimate sniper. We have to give him a bigger role because he is Will Smith.
Yeah, but Rick Flagg's position was shrunk down a bit to
even though Tom Hardy right now is a bigger deal than Will Smith.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Hardy's like the most in-demand actor in Hollywood at the moment. Why would you shrink his role? That's just like movie suicide.
I don't know. Maybe they think that the kids or the audience are looking for more into Will Smith.
Yeah, but that's like saying Men in Black 3 is going to be a great movie.
Yeah. So, like, as long as the role's done well, I don't mind who's playing it.
Yeah.
But I do not blame Tom for leaving when he's got some pretty big roles ahead of him. Like,
That move always confused me, because Rick Flagg isn't he the leader of the Suicide Squad as well?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense.
Like, I guess, depending on which version you're reading, like, Deadshot was leader in the more recent ones.
Ah, right, okay. Well, but you'll know more about Suicide Squad than I do.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Mad Max, the Mad Max movie that's coming out soon, Fury Road.
Yeah. Just so happening, features Tom Hardy.
Yes.
So yeah.
All the irony. Mad Max Fury Road. It's already got a video game tie-in.
Yeah.
It now has a comic book tie-in from DC Vertigo, who are going to do a 2-issue. Mini series, that ties into the movie. Now, not sure yet if it's actually going to be a story arc from the movie, or whether it's going to be something that just ties in with details of the movie. It'd be better if it was the latter,
yeah,
because I've seen far too many of those comic book versions of the movie. Which
I have the movie to watch. I don't need
the
comic.
Exactly. I don't need to know that. Just basically give me additional details about the movie, like a side story or a character piece or something like that.
Yeah, I really enjoy like side pieces that are like, hey, there's this character who's really interesting that only had like a set amount of screen time in the movie, but there's a lot of interesting stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know there is.
Here's
a comic about that guy.
That would be so much more preferable, and I think that interest in the movie would be built by doing stuff like that on a more regular basis.
So because it's Mad Max, I bet there's a billion characters like that who, like, you can tell there's something interesting about.
Oh God, yes. Anyway, moving on, the Deadpool movie.
Yes.
Right now, Ryan Reynolds has pretty much confirmed that he's going to play the role of the Merc with the Mouth.
Yeah, like, he finally gets a chance to do it well, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a massive Deadpool fan.
Yeah, well...
And he wasn't happy with Wolverine Origins.
Well, would you be? Like,
I don't think anyone was happy with that movie.
His performance at the start of that was perfect.
Yeah.
before they'd done all the...
Before they sealed his mouth up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was a better Deadpool before he became Deadpool in that movie.
Yes, I agree. I actually agree with you. Because Deadpool is mad as a hatter and never shuts up.
Yeah, so he had the wit, he had the jokingness, he had like all the stuff that Deadpool knows. Maybe not quite as psychotic, but this was before all the things that make him psychotic happened.
This was before the all the Weapon X stuff. This was before he found out he had cancer and went into Weapon X and basically became part of the Deadpool.
So, now he's getting a chance to do it, and from like the bit of footage we have, gets to do it right.
Yes. Gina Carano, the MMA fighter turned actress who also played the lead role in the movie Haywire, is on board to... I've forgotten which role she's playing. She's playing the role of... where is it?
It's one of the Morlocks, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the Morlocks. I can't remember what her name is. Ah, damn it. Why have I forgotten the name? Angel Dust, that's
Angel
it.
Angel Dust, okay.
Yes, she's on board to play the role of Angel Dust, one of the Morlocks. But... also, T.J. Miller, who is one of the stars of Silicon Valley, is coming on board to play an as yet unknown role. Now, speculation here: it may be Colossus because they have confirmed that Colossus is going to make an appearance in the movie, and they haven't yet confirmed if Daniel Cudmore, who played the role in the X-Men movies, is going to be on board as well. So, possibly T.J. Miller could play the role of Colossus. Which would be interesting, if it's got Morlocks and a member of the Morlocks and a member of the X-Men in, then I'm actually looking forward to this a lot more because it's covering a lot more mutant teams.
Well, the reason I'm mostly looking forward to this is more it takes a Deadpool takes a much more fun approach to stuff, and when everything's all about the gritty reboot at the moment,
I just want to know if they do the whole breaking of the fourth wall.
Oh, I hope so.
Wouldn't it be brilliant if you're watching this at the cinema and then Ryan Reynolds in full costume comes out from the screen?
not quite sure they can go that far with it.
It would be amazing, though, wouldn't it?
It would be, but you'd have a lot of work to do for, like, every cinema around the world. You need to be there for every airing.
No, I mean, if you just did it at the premiere, though.
Oh, well, you could do it at the premiere.
Yeah, if they have like a projector, one of those screens for the projector, and he's just, and you see Deadpool running at the camera going, stop filming, and then Ryan Reynolds just bursts through the screen. Something like that could work. Anyway, I think that would be a fun way to do the premiere. Right, moving on. A bit more controversial news this time, given what happened recently at Charlie Hebdo in France. There is a thing called Manga de Dokuha, and so far they have done the manga version of the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yep.
Guess which book they're going to be focusing on next?
I would have to guess the Quran.
Yep. Now, I am I'm worried about this.
Yeah.
Because if they get, I'm kind of worried, but I know that when the Japanese approach manga about specific things, they tend to research it thoroughly.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're dumb enough to put an image of Muhammad.
Yeah, and like, it's not that they're making it a derogatory thing. They're basically just trying to tell the story of the story in the Quran.
Based on, like, their previous work, it is a straight-up telling...
of the Quran in manga form.
The Bible in the past. Like, just straight-up, this is the story.
Yeah.
Here is it being depicted in manga form. It's not, like, deviated. It's just the words in the book.
Yeah. So, although I am kind of worried, that's mainly because there's a reactionary element going around these days. It was like you remember when Marvel first introduced Kamala Khan as the new Miss Marvel?
Yeah.
There was a reactionary element going, you can't have a woman in this role, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, well, yes, you can. They're trying to quote parts of the Quran that say, oh, no, women can't do this. And I'm like, I've read the same book as you have, and yes, you can. Yes, they can.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's
all down to interpretation.
Yeah.
It is all down to interpretation. So, we'll be watching that story.
Yeah.
We'll let you know of any developments on that front. Hopefully, they'll just be positive ones.
Hopefully, we can just take it for if people just take it for face value, everything's fine, because it's just, it's another version of a book that's out there.
Yes.
It's not controversial, really.
No.
The only reason it's controversial is because people are making it controversial.
Yeah, I agree with you totally on that one.
There was no issue on the Bible versions getting released, because, like, it's the Bible. Who cares? It's just a book.
Yeah.
So there shouldn't be an issue with Cran coming out. It's like, it's just another version of the same book.
I absolutely agree with you. You won't hear any dispute from me. I totally agree with you. Right. Moving on. Mad Magazine.
Yes.
Right. Now, that weapon of insanity that they call Mad Magazine, I have no idea how it's become an American institution. It's like it reminds me slightly, but only slightly, of like the Dandy and the Beano from when I was a kid. But it's totally out there.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff it does is just nuts. And it sells out.
Yeah.
It's one of the most popular comics magazines in the States. It regularly beats stuff like Batman and Superman and stuff like that.
See, I find it weird because it's like the Dandy and the Beano and stuff, like that's sort of the UK equivalent, I guess.
Yeah.
And they both sort of died out.
Yep.
Like, we did a news story a couple of weeks ago that was it the Beano?
The Dandy.
The Dandy's going to stop. Like, but Mad has just kept on going. Like, I remember seeing this being featured in like The Simpsons when I was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Mad is like Archie in America.
Yeah.
I mean, the Archie comics have been going for how long now?
Forever. They've been going before me.
They've been going since before me.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
Yeah.
The Archie comics have been around forever. And I don't know what the appeal of Archie is, but they've actually got like several titles. And they've got multiple universes. And, you know, in Archie's dating one girl in one universe and another girl in another universe. And, you know... And now they've got Archie versus zombies, and, you know, Archie was killed in one of the universes. Somebody shot him. It's going all Dallas on us with that. You know, who killed Archie kind of thing.
Come with me if you want to live.
Yeah. Just kind of, what is going on? And yet people buy it in droves.
And we went a bit off tangent here.
Mad. It is totally mad. Mad Magazine has appointed their first ever guest editor. In all the years, they've never had a guest editor.
And it's a perfect choice for a guest editor.
Yeah, it is that master of weirdness himself, you know. Just eat it. It's Weird Al Yankovic.
Yep. And I could not think of a more perfect person to be an editor on Mad. I mean, guy's crazy. Have you seen recently, he's doing a new tour. Did you see the advertisement that he did for it?
No.
Just him trying to play one of his songs with a music instruction. He's like, do it faster. And just like, he keeps needing to redo this thing really faster and faster. His fingers are bleeding and he's doing stupid jokes through the whole thing. And it's just, it's a mad skit in itself.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anyone more perfect to do a to guest edit.
I think he's a perfect choice as well.
Yep.
I mean, I can't honestly think of. I mean, now that they've given him the role of their first ever guest editor, I honestly cannot think of anybody else in America who was actually more fitting than him.
Yeah, I think they've sort of got everyone else already in the company.
Yeah, I know. It's weird when you get right down to it. I think maybe Matt Stone, Trey Parker. Could possibly do something. But if they did it as kind of a dual role thing rather than letting one of them do it one week, one of them the next. But Weird Al Yankovic is just, it's like the most perfect addition.
Like, you could imagine his face on the comic.
Oh,
like,
God. Can you imagine him merged with that goofy kid that they normally have on the face, on the cover?
It's not that much of a difference, tell you.
No. Anyway. Moving on, 20th Century Fox and New Regency are looking to option a giant monster comic called Enormous.
Yes.
Right? Now, this comics book series is all about kaiju in all their forms. It's all about giant monsters laying waste to civilization. And unfortunately, they don't have the Pacific Rim robots to fight them off.
Yeah, the Jaegers.
Yes, the Jaegers. I was not even aware this comic existed, and I want it now. I want to feature it on this show. It's a comic about giant monsters.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want that?
Well, to tell the truth, from when you told me about it, it's less about the monsters.
Yeah.
And more about the people.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know that Godzilla had his own comic.
Yeah.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
He fought against pretty much everybody. He swatted Thor.
Yeah.
Like he was nothing.
Yeah.
He basically just went ding and Thor went flying.
Yeah.
You know, I used to read those when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And they were great. They were so cheesy, but they were fantastic.
Well, it's Godzilla. It's going to have to be a bit cheesy.
Yeah. And then I watched Godzilla and Godzuki when I was a kid.
Yeah.
As well. And God, I love Godzilla.
We know, Rob. Calm down.
Godzuki was just annoying. He was like Scrappy Doo.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to... I'm curious how they're going to do this, but well, we are going to see if we can get Enormous to feature on the show.
So, like I said, he focuses a bit more on the human element, these people surviving as the kaiju are attacking each other, as all of this. My one worry is, you've seen the recent Godzilla movie?
It was good for 7 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Let them fight, and then it's a good movie. But what if the entire series is the part where they don't let them fight?
So all you see is the people and just the feet of the monsters?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it could be good, it could not be good. Without a more knowledgeable reference to it, I can't tell you. Like, except, like, I enjoyed Cloverfield, the movie. Like, and that was very much about the people. But then I wasn't that fond of Godzilla until, like, the last 10 minutes. So, what's going on? Like, I don't know if it's going to be good or not. I'm just going to have to see.
Okay, right. We're going to take a break there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with some comics.
Yay.
Hello. I'm a poor quality impersonation of Werner Herzog. And if you like films and bad impersonations and the ice that encrusts a layer of madness beneath human civilization, then tune into Cinema Eclectica, the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast.
Welcome back to 4Panel, your one-stop shop for everything related to comics and pictures with words.
Yep.
And sequential artwork and all sorts of things like that.
Yep.
I was trying to think of all the different ways you can call a comic. It didn't quite work.
Flickery pitchery book. That's my new description for
flickery
it.
Flickery pitchery book. Okay, we're going to get into some comics now, and a bit of manga as well. So
yep.
What you got for us today, Ben?
First up, I've got the next issue of Batman Eternal.
Ooh.
Of course, I read the previous comic last week. Mm. It's now expanding. I've managed to piece together a bit more about what happened before I started reading.
Yeah.
And it looks like some messed up voodoo's been happening down at Arkham.
Ooh, voodoo.
With the Joker's daughter.
Like, the Joker's daughter has been doing voodoo. Ooh, that's not good.
So in this, Batman basically, he finds out, he gets a guy who's basically responsible and is trying to work out what happened.
Yeah.
Because ghosts are appearing about, ghost spirits, and people don't know what to do. The world, people are panicking, and so they're trying to work out how to stop it.
Yeah.
During this, Batwing has been fighting ghosts. Like, he put a special rare metal in his knuckles of his suit so he can punch ghosts. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So they find out that how the guy did it, but it's sort of more manipulation of the guy, controlling his thoughts, making him do this stuff rather than him actively doing it.
Yeah.
And it's getting very interesting. Like, you find out who's behind it at the end. I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't read it. It said, get some old bad guys back in town and doing some interesting stuff.
See, my likely candidate for this would be Black Mask.
Nope. So, you actually find out, last time I told you about think her name was Bluebird.
Yeah.
It's starting to justify why she thinks that Bruce Wayne's the bad guy as well.
Right. Okay.
But like, yeah, we all know that Bruce Wayne isn't the bad guy, but it's sort of you getting to know why she thinks that.
Yeah. I can see why. I can kind of get why she sees that. It does kind of make sense in my head, but you know,
so, there's things in this that like kind of point to Bruce Wayne being the bad guy. So you understand why she's like, "Hey, I've been looking into stuff. I can't explain it all, but I know Bruce Wayne's the bad guy." And like now you're getting to know some of the things she knows that's making her think that he's the bad guy, and it's interesting.
Fantastic. Right. For my first trick is The Walking Dead.
Yes.
From Image Comics. Now, this issue of The Walking Dead, it picks up the story after, I've forgotten her name. Basically, it's the survivors. They've captured a lass. They met another group of survivors. They captured a lass. And it's a bit confusing because if you aren't familiar with The Walking Dead where it is right now, you can't follow what's going on.
Yeah.
But it does have the character of Carl Grimes in, who is missing an eye.
Yeah.
It doesn't go into detail about how Carl missed it, you know, lost his eye, ended up with the scars and everything like that. But he is Rick Grimes' son.
Yeah.
So it's mainly a story, you know, I think this is mainly about Carl himself.
Yeah.
He becomes friends with this woman that they capture. But there's a struggle for power going on in the background. Now, you don't see any zombies, really, in this.
Well, Walking Dead, famously, is not about the zombies. The zombies are just happening. It's about the people surviving them.
Yeah. There is a slightly disturbing scene with the whole licking of an eye socket. Don't ask me what's going on there.
Someone's licking an eye socket.
As you mentioned with Enormous, Walking Dead is more of a character piece rather than it is about the zombies. And even though not much happens in this chapter of the story, you can tell that a lot is going to happen immediately after.
Yeah.
Because the current leader has been, you know, has been taken out, and this guy who used to be the leader, he has taken control again by poisoning her.
Yeah.
So, you know, things are going to come to a head again. I'm actually looking forward to reading the next chapter of this. Yeah. It is a nice setup for the next chapter, but that's pretty much all this issue is a setup for the next chapter.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
So sometimes you have to do that just to, like, if things need to be said before something can take place,
then
sometimes you have to have a thing.
Absolutely correct. You know, there's no choice in it. That's just the nature of storytelling.
Yeah.
All right, what's up next, Ben?
Guardians of the Galaxy, The Black Vortex.
Ooh.
This is issue number 24 of it. It's there are more stuff that happened, but it is mostly set up for the next one.
Yeah.
But the X-Men and the Guardians of the Galaxy are teaming up to take on a more, like, a big evil force.
Yes.
Who are after a thing called the Black Vortex.
Mm.
And this issue starts with Gamora has just looked into the Black Vortex, and she has become like a mega form of herself. She is faster, stronger, more knowledgeable. She just... the way they put it is like, you have to see it to understand, but then you understand everything.
Okay.
Except just with her new powered up form, she just is wiping the floor with everyone who's going after them.
Hmm.
And she single-handedly fights off like a group of like really strong people, giving them enough time to
escape.
Yeah. And escape with the vortex.
Yeah.
And this is basically them discussing, should we use the vortex? Should we destroy it? Should we lock it up? What should we do with this?
Yeah.
Because a lot of it's split. Like, Star-Lord wants to use it. He's like, hey, our opponents are stronger. We are hanging on by the skin of our teeth. If we use this, this gives us an upper hand. Gamora's saying, hey, I can now take on, Thanos.
Yeah.
I'm now strong enough to take him on. While others, Kitty Pryce is saying, no, we need to get rid of this. This is too powerful for us. Yeah. If the enemy wants, we have to destroy it. Frax is just like, I will break it, and then everyone will thank me because I have broke it.
Yes.
And one of the X-Men actually looks into it and gains all this power. And like Gamora, she's like, yeah, I understand now. I can stop all the problems. All this, the mutant hatred that's going on Earth, I can fix it.
Power comes at a price, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, at the moment, we don't know the price. At the moment, it all seems up.
Ooh. So it seems like there's no downsides.
Yeah.
As we all know,
yeah,
there's strings attached.
Except, it ends with Gamora just forcing everyone to look into it.
Wow.
Like, she takes away their choice in the issue and just says, just takes it and forces them to look into it. So now everyone is this super form of themselves, and now they're going.
Super form of themselves.
Yep. It's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
It's like, sort of like them with the galaxy inside them.
It's beginning to sound a bit like Gurren Lagann here.
How would you describe that?
It's beginning to look a bit like Gurren Lagann as well.
A little bit. But it's very awesome because, I gotta say, the humor is top notch.
Yeah.
Like, this is my first look into the comic.
Yeah.
I love the movie, but that humor is there. He's like saying how everyone knows Gamora. She's like Cher or Madonna. Maybe I should get some more up-to-date references. Eminem? Oh, no, I'm not at Earth very often. It's like, but the writing is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, he's like warning, like, there's a story about the Phoenix. And like, and Rocket just goes, oh, whenever you got two of these stupid mutants, it always comes down to the Phoenix. Like, they were there. They were doing a thing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's very funny.
I was there, man. I was there. You weren't there. I was there.
It's very good writing, very funny, and actually brings up some, like, there was actually some quite good moral debate in it as well, and for a comic that's so amusing, to have that is really good.
Fantastic. Right, I'm going to move on to another kind of horror. This is from Dynamite. It is the man with the chain himself. It's Ash in Army of Darkness.
Yep. Has he got a chainsaw hand yet?
Yes, he's got his chainsaw hand. Basically, he's been fighting the Deadites since the Middle Ages, since medieval times.
Yeah.
Right. Now, he's got his chainsaw hand. He's got his boomstick.
Yeah.
Somehow, he's on a space station.
As you do.
The space station is being invaded by Deadites and his evil twin from Army of Darkness,
yeah,
who now has the Necronomicon buried in his chest.
Also, as you do.
Yes. Ash just wants a beef burger, as he does.
Yep.
But he can't get one because apparently he has to cook it himself. He only has one hand. The other one's a chainsaw. And
he uses one to cut and one to flip. It should be fine.
And his Deadite twin has invaded the space station and has taken over a couple of spacesuits and various people.
Yeah.
All in an effort to get this satellite, which can beam the Deadite transmission all over the world and fill the world with Deadites.
Yeah.
And it's up to Ash to stop him. Now, this goes very aliens on us. it goes absolutely aliens on us because Ash, being a master of putting junk together and coming up with tanks,
yeah,
you know, he is like a walking A-team.
Yeah.
With his convenient engineering books, he basically builds this.
It looks like
the loader from Aliens.
Yeah.
Ash builds the loader from Aliens and gives his boomstick to the female astronaut, the only female astronaut left.
Of course.
And says, groovy. That is the last word in the comic.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess. it's very, like, accurate to its source material.
It's very accurate to its source material, and the dialogue, Ash's dialogue in particular, is very much how you would see Ash speaking in a comic.
Yeah.
Thing is, there was something curious about this. In between, you know, interspersed throughout the comic, there are adverts. One of them is for Blood Queen versus Dracula.
Yeah.
But the one that caught my attention was this one called Black Cross.
Yeah.
And the question is, why has a serial killer come to the small town of Black Cross? And what is his connection to the lost heroes from Project Superpowers?
Yeah.
And it actually looks really interesting. It's by Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
The first advert is basically a guy walks into the forest, covers himself in petrol, lights it, and then walks into the lake.
Okay.
See what I mean about interesting?
Yeah.
And just kind of, ooh, this looks good. I might have to pick that up. So we'll be looking out for Black Cross.
Yeah.
To find out what's going on with the lost heroes from Project Superpowers.
Actually, something that interested me in the back of Batman Eternal. It had the preview for the next Suicide Squad.
Ooh.
So I was like, ooh, I like my Suicide Squad.
Yes. Anyway, shall I do this one first?
Yes.
Let's get rid of the last comic. This is Justice League 3000. Now, I like Justice League to a point, but this is set a long time in the future, and everything has changed. Something called the Cataclysm, or whatever it was. Basically, Earth has been all but wiped out. And there's this planet called Avalon 6, I think it is, or Camelot 6. And on that world, they find Ice, who used to be a member of the Justice League, part of Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
You know, the green, two girls, one was a green flame thing, and the other one was the white-haired Ice. Now, Ice is immortal. Yeah. She didn't know that at first, but she's actually immortal. And she's been alive for all the time. She doesn't remember quite what happened at the Cataclysm, but everything has changed since then.
Yeah.
Lois Lane is now calling herself Queen of the Universe, and she killed Superman 1,000 years ago.
As you do.
But Superman is back. Not the same Superman. It's still Clark Kent, but he's not the same.
Yeah.
It's like he's been resurrected or regenerated or reincarnated or something like that.
Yeah.
And Lois Lane, who's ready to kill him all over again. She's teamed up with Sinestro and a few others in what is kind of like the Injustice League.
Yeah.
The clone of, you know, basically, not so much a clone, kind of, she's got the Flash's DNA.
Yeah.
But she's basically the new Flash.
Yeah.
She finds Ice basically asleep in a frozen castle on this world of Camelot 6. The people of Camelot 6 have basically left her alone for all that time.
Tell the truth, I don't blame him. Ice is basically a god. Just let her be. Let her do it. You do you. Yeah. We'll do us. Everyone's happy.
I mean, there's a new Green Lantern. There is a new Wonder Woman who is more like She-Hulk, I suppose, in terms of her voracity.
Yes.
When it comes to certain
good way
things.
Of putting it.
Blue Beetle and Booster Gold are around, but they've been led into a trap, and they want the full story of what happened at the Cataclysm from Ice, because she was there, and she can't tell them the full story, but she tells them why she left Earth.
Yeah,
and it's basically because of a bureaucratic error in Hell, she was taken to Hell.
Yeah,
to be tormented for all eternity. Anyway. Members of the Justice League went to Hell and fought Etrigan and various other demons in order to rescue her. And as they were walking out, Fire made one mistake. She looked back. It's the obvious mistake, and Ice was immediately turned into a pillar of salt.
Yeah.
And then forced to remain in Hell. Fire went back to Hell after that on her own and basically traded her soul for Ice's freedom.
Yeah.
So Fire has been in Hell for 1,000 years. And now, because Ice tried to free Fire sometime later, but Fire by that point had become Etrigan's lover and also the general of his armies.
Yeah, I could see her fitting in well in Hell.
Yeah. Etrigan also possesses Darkseid's head.
Oh, okay.
In a jar, which talks. It's like a scene from Futurama. Anyway, there's a war going on in Camelot 6 between Etrigan's forces and the forces of the Justice League. And Ice has basically, it explains how after the Cataclysm, Ice became like a goddess to the humans who were left on Earth, and the sentient beasts who became a civilization who were persecuted by humans. She became a goddess to them all, but then humans decided to commit genocide again against the beasts, so she basically left, took the animals, the sentient animals, two by two, onto her ark. So, yeah. It's actually... I'm surprised at how much I enjoyed Justice League 3000. I like Justice League, but I wouldn't say I'm a massive, massive fan.
Yeah.
But 3000 is unusual because I want to know what happened in the Cataclysm. I want to know what happened to the world, you know? And I want to know what happens in the war between Etrigan, who is actually a former member of the Justice League.
Yeah.
And everyone else.
So, and I like the point it takes the perspective of an outside observer.
Yeah.
Because Ice isn't a huge, like, member of the Justice League.
No, she's not.
So, but as you said, she's immortal. She goes on forever, and she's seen some stuff.
Yeah, she's seen all sorts of weird and wibbly stuff.
So, like...
But she also went through, like, 1,000 years of depression as well, which is so emo it hurts.
Yeah. Tell the truth, though. On the basis of why she did, it's understandable.
It is understandable, her best because of her best friend. But she, I would have thought she would have snapped out of the depression when she found out that Fire was actually having a great time in hell. You know, she got herself a boyfriend. She got herself a good job as the general of Hell's armies.
One phone call could have cleared everything up.
Yeah, one phone call to customer services.
Yeah,
I'm sure Hell has customer services.
I'm pretty sure that's where most of them are based. Easy joke.
Yes, I know. So, yeah, I really want to know what happens next in Justice League 3000.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what happened before in Justice League 3000.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
This is the problem with us all coming in halfway through a series. Like, oh, this seems really cool. I wonder what happened.
Yeah.
Well, it already happened, so I'm not going to show it again.
Exactly, exactly.
It's the one thing I'm waiting for, the recap episode.
Yes. I agree. Right, we're going to move on to you now, Ben.
Yep. With Witchcraft Works Volume 2.
You've been waiting for this.
I have been. Like, if you didn't hear my review on the first one, it was a while ago now. But I love this series.
Yes.
I love the characters. I love the art style. I love the way everything's displayed. I love everything about it.
You love the role reversal in particular.
I do.
The princess is coming to the rescue rescue the prince instead of the other way around.
Yeah, but although she does refer to him as her princess. So.
Yes, I know, which is hilarious.
Yep. Takamiya, thank you, is your regular school-going guy. He lives with his family. He goes to school,
and he has a younger sister who has the biggest kind of older brother complex outside of Mahorka.
Yes, and that all changed when he got attacked by witches.
Yes,
but was saved by Kagari Ayaka.
Yeah,
who was the most popular girl in school. Everyone loves her. Everyone thinks she's great. And she's always sat next to him in class and stuff just by happenstance. But ends up, she's been protecting him for years.
It wasn't by happenstance, was it?
Except in this one, in the previous volume, I loved it because how strong she was. Like, every threat that come up, she would just obliterate them, no problem. Everything was fine. In this one, it brings in a plausible threat.
Yes.
Like, it still shows, like, how strong she is, because there's still those witches coming after her who, like, use her weaknesses against her, and she's still obliterating them. But there's certain ones that are just like, oh, yeah, I'm a badass. Watch me do this. Bam. You are down. You are down for the count.
Yeah.
Like, you have to use your ultimate form if you've got any chance to do me. Like, and then she's just like, oh, yeah, I'm done here. I'm going to leave. It's like... like these, there are other witches out there just as badass as yes. she is. And like the introduction, because I love the fact she's so overpowered, but the introduction of an actual threat has put a bit of crisis in it.
Yeah.
So in this, you see the threat that stands before them. You get to see Takamiya sort of learning how to be a witch.
Yes.
Because he's decided, hey, I want to protect myself, so can you teach me to be a witch? And it's quite amusing seeing him in the little witch's hat.
Yeah,
and
the cape.
He stood there and thing as Kagari's taking pictures, like, you look so cute. Like, you get to learn a lot more about Kagari, you get to learn a lot more about his family as well, like his sister.
Yes.
Also a witch. Protecting him on weekends and when he gets home.
Yes.
No idea. And
exactly.
You get to learn a lot more about the world, about the people in it. Like, even his mum, who doesn't have a huge, like, stake in the story of this, gets some good development. And you get to see, like, the real threats are out there. And I love that things are coming a bit clearer about why the Tower Witches want him.
Yeah.
But you still don't know why.
Yeah, they do a good job in the series of pacing it so that, you know, to keep you interested. Why did they want him? Why did they need him?
Yeah. So just like the fight earlier on, she could have killed the guy easily, but she's like, no, here's a pill. You take this pill and it lets out all your power. That's it, done. That is...
Yeah.
And then she leaves. It's like, well, I guess... So they don't want to kill him. They just want rid of his power. Like,
not quite. I'm not going to say.
It's not clear what they want, but...
It will become clear, though.
It's gone who. That's how a story arc does.
Yes.
But it's very good how they're pacing it, really.
Oh, absolutely. And the artwork has been...
Oh, it's outstanding. It's like a particularly like busy pages with lots of characters, like the details still there. Particularly when she like transforms into a like ultimate form, or there's anyone in their ultimate forms and stuff. It just, the artwork is incredible. I mean, look at that page. Look at it. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, I know that doesn't really work for a recording, but I cannot like emphasize how amazing this manga looks.
Yeah.
Like, that's half the reason I'm so into it. It's just it takes stuff that has been done before, but makes it like a style that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like,
I totally agree with you. I honestly totally agree with you.
Subject wise, don't think it's quite as good as Volume 1. It has its moments that are better, but I just think Number 1 was introducing a lot. It had a lot more going.
I think when it comes to Number 2, it's more of a development
one,
isn't it? Showing you the rest of the world, the other characters, and then hopefully it'll start picking up the action again in Number 3. Then you'll start seeing Kagari kick
ass. Suggestions of very big action at the end.
Yeah.
So they left it on one hell of a cliffhanger.
Ooh, good. Right, moving on. You all done there, Ben?
Yes, I am.
Right, okay. Moving on to our final book, which is Ordinary.
Yes.
Now, this is by Rob Williams and Disraeli, and it is... I'm just going to read straight off the back. In the world of the superpowered, the dull and weak are king.
Okay.
Immediately catches your attention, doesn't it? Imagine a world where everyone has superpowers. That is, except you. You are the same old, miserable, lonely loser you've always been. Welcome to the world of Michael Fisher.
Yeah.
Right. Now, something happens. And all of a sudden, everybody in the world gets superpowers. Except for one guy, Michael Fisher. Divorced with a kid. His kid stays with his mom. Goes to school. He hasn't seen his kid for a while. And just this cataclysmic event. And all of a sudden, he's in a world full of bears who can talk and people who can turn into gold and all sorts of things like that. And he's just kind of, what the hell's going on? So what's my power? Oh, God. I was going to use a different word there. I don't have any powers. Uh-oh. And so, yeah, he's getting harassed by his neighbors who, you know, either want his money or want him to do stuff for them or just want to hit him in the face because they have superpowers now and could potentially knock his face onto the other side of his skull.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everything has gone mad. The world has gone mad and it's filled with all these superpowered beings.
Yeah.
When all he wants is just to be left alone and just, you know, just basically live his life in peace.
Yeah. If you're normal, you wouldn't be left alone.
But thing is, with all these superpowers, everyone's enjoying their new superpowers, so society effectively breaks down.
Yeah.
And it's up to the military to try and keep the peace, which they're having difficulty with, because when you have people who are invulnerable to your bullets, it's difficult to bring them down.
Wouldn't the military have superpowers too?
They do have superpowers too. Anyway, in the midst of all this anarchy and rioting and people going crazy with power, Michael realizes that his son is still at school.
Yeah.
He tries to contact his ex-wife. Nobody picks up. So he's thinking, oh God, what's going on? So he makes an epic trek across the city.
Yeah.
Being hounded by all sorts of people. In order to try and rescue his son.
Yeah.
And he finds his son's got superpowers, his son can turn invisible. But the first thing that happens is he gets attacked by an alien-like creature until the kids say, until the kids point out that that is actually their homeroom teacher. And it's one of the most surreal scenes I've seen in a comic is basically an alien creature trying to, you know, that looks straight out of one of the Alien movies.
Yeah.
Trying to eat someone's face. Trying to eat Michael's face.
Yeah.
And then the very next panel, he's going, oh, sorry, I didn't know who you were. It's just the incongruity of it all is just wonderfully, you know, it's just wonderfully idiosyncratic.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't work, but it does.
Yeah.
And it does it so well. Because Michael is the last normal person left on Earth, he also carries the seeds of turning everybody normal again. But yeah. The military, now that they've got superpowers, don't want that to happen. So they send Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
Who is now some kind of mutant who has super strength and stuff like that to basically get rid of Michael.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to tell you how it ends. I honestly, when I looked at the cover and said it's so ordinary, and I looked at what it says about it on the back, it's been, you know, it's got all sorts of praise, and I can only add to that, it is an amazing piece of work.
Yeah.
It really is that good. It's such a simple idea as well.
Yeah.
You know, because it's kind of, you know, the syndrome idea from Incredibles.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that, like, then everyone will be incredible, then no one will be incredible.
Yeah, if everyone's super, then no one will be.
Yeah.
But then there's going to be somebody who doesn't become super.
Yeah.
What happens to him?
Yeah.
You know, in a world of superheroes, what happens to the normal guy? And yeah. I just love the fact that somebody has actually addressed that.
Yeah. It's like, I'm trying to think the name of it, but there's a web comic I read a while ago. It's all about a company developed a drug that meant you didn't have to sleep.
Yeah.
And there was just this one guy who was allergic to the medication. So he's hired by the company. They guarantee work because otherwise they wouldn't be able to get a job anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's the same idea of like the superheroes, but it's sleep. Like,
yeah.
Get rid of sleep. What happens to the guy who still needs to sleep?
Yeah. See, I love stories like that. I love those what-if stories.
Yeah.
You know, I think the what-if stories are so much...
So it's a what-if everything changes but you.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of everyone worries that they're strange. Everyone worries that they're not normal. So what if everyone else changed? So
what if everyone else was not normal and you were the only normal left?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it gives you... It's something people think about, put in a solid idea, like, and present it to you.
Absolutely.
And it's usually very enjoyable.
Oh, it's so enjoyable. I've got to say, it's easily the best comic book, or graphic novel, I should say, that I've read this year so far.
Yeah.
Easily the best.
It's very I've read
quite a few already.
Yeah. Hey, it's only January, so I wouldn't like...
February.
Oh, yeah. February.
Where does the time go, Ben? Yes.
Into comics, anyway. Apparently.
Yes, in the comics, because we have more to read. Right. We are pretty much at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Any ideas what we're doing next week? I think we'll leave it open.
Yeah.
We'll see what we get.
Yep. I've got a couple of things I need to read, but...
Yes. Same here. But yeah, we have been Four Panel. I've been Rob.
I have been Ben.
We'll see you all next week. Take care. Have fun. And yeah, if you've got anything that you'd like us to read, that you'd like us to discuss on the show, get in touch with us. studio@thegeekshow.co.uk.
Yep. Find us on Facebook.
Yeah, or let us know.
Searching for The Geek Show or at TGS... _The Geek Show
on Twitter.
We've also got Tumblr. Just look for The Geek Show.
Yep. We're everywhere. Just look for The Geek Show.
And check out The Geek Show on Mondays at thegeekshow.co.uk.
Yeah, that's live every Monday from 6 to 8.
Yep.
Just click on the speaker on the MixLR player.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised people haven't done. There's many people.
People are still transitioning from our former...
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that's been us. We'll see you all next week.
Bye.